from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Real estate prices and home sales in the Bay Area fell last month compared with March of last year. That's according to a new study. It's the first fall in prices and sales in 7 years. Is it just a blip or a sign of a larger slowdown? Then at 10:30, over 700 measles cases have been reported in the United States this year, the largest outbreak since the disease was declared eliminated back in 2000. We'll talk with the head of California's Department of Health about the surge and what you need to know. And that's next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Home prices here in the Bay Area and the number of home sales fell in March compared with March of last year, and that's according to a report put out by real estate data company CoreLogic. It's the first fall in home prices and sales in 7 years, and joining us to discuss the report is Kathleen Pender, business columnist who does the column Net Worth for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us. We'll also welcome to this segment Steve Levy, who is director of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. Welcome back to Forum, Stephen Levy.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning to you. And Kathleen Pender, let me begin with you. We're talking about falling last month. This is on a year-to-year basis. First time in 7 years.
Yes, it is the first time in 7 years. I should point out that the decrease was 0.1%, which was basically flat. But this is indicative of a longer-term trend that has been taking place over about the past year. In March of 2018, prices were up about 16% over the previous year, March of 2016. And that maybe just marked a high watermark. After that, the rate of appreciation started slowing, and the year-over-year price gains have been coming down pretty much every month over the past year. So even though it was a very tiny decline, it does highlight for a lot of people who haven't been following this closely the fact that, yes, indeed, Bay Area home prices have been moderating.
Well, moderating or maybe just a blip. I mean, have we hit a wall here? Are we actually moving towards some kind of larger flattening of the market or something, a pause?
Well, that's I guess around here you'd say the $640,000 question if you're trying to buy a home. The numbers for March represent sales that took place largely in February because it takes about a month for a house to close. And February was a month where the stock market was recovering from last fall's big drop. Interest rates, which had kind of soared at the end of last year, were dropping somewhat. February is still kind of a slow month for the market, so it's not a real indicative month. I think we're going to have to wait another month or two to see whether this slowing appreciation that we've seen in the past year is going to continue or whether perhaps it's going to pick up again, because spring is the busy season. Prices tend to go up on a month-to-month basis. And we also have this big group of private companies in the Bay Area that are going public this year. Some already have.
More millionaires descending upon us.
That's the big question here is what's going to happen when all of those employees who have stock that they can sell when their lockup period expires. Is that cash going to make a big difference in the market or not?
Well, you've got Airbnb, you've got Lyft, you've got Uber, and all those, a proliferation of
Pinterest,
millionaires.
Zoom,
in
Slack.
Fact, I want to talk with Stephen Levy about the Bay Area News Group's analysis of this in terms of how it's changing the whole region, as well as the cost of housing, which is really what we're focusing on. And Steve, there's a difference here that we ought to point out between, say, what's going on in the East Bay, especially Alameda and Contra Costa, where it's almost twice what it was last year, but a slight increase, for example, in Alameda. But when we're talking about Silicon Valley, we're really talking about the core of this, declining sales and declining prices in Silicon Valley, especially San Mateo and Santa Clara.
There are two things going on. And the bottom line is there's not an infinite supply of people who can afford these prices. So if they've gone up 10, 15, 20% a year for 7 years, every year there are fewer people who can afford these home prices. And so we've reached a point where there aren't that many more people who can afford these prices. Some of them have chosen to rent. Some of them have moved to Tracy and places like that where they can get a home for half that much. The second thing that's happened is developers, at least at the top end, are building very nice complexes of rentals, condos, and townhouses in places where you can walk to shops and services and catch BART or Caltrain, and they are an alternative for many people to the traditional single-family home. I think we've hit a ceiling, and the IPOs won't make a big dent in that. I think this is a real indicator that single-family home prices have hit a top for a while.
Isn't there a lot of new inventory, though, coming into the market?
There is a lot of new inventory, but it's not. The core logic is detached single-family home, the traditional single-family suburban home. And the inventory that's coming in is what I said. It's these condos and townhouses and very expensive apartments. And they provide competition for many people to the traditional single-family home, which is another reason why the market there is softening.
And Kathleen Pendergen here with us, a studio business columnist, writes for Net Worth in the San Francisco Chronicle. How does population and how do interest rates figure into all this?
It all figures in. And coincidentally, earlier this month, the census put out new figures for the Bay Area that show really a big drop-off in the rate of population growth in the Bay Area as well. So I think you are starting to see housing, maybe not starting, but you definitely are seeing high housing costs having an impact on the population growth here. More people are moving like to Tracy, to Portland, back home to Minnesota. The availability of telecommuting makes that possible, where people can earn a Silicon Valley salary and live in a much more affordable place.
Overpriced homes, though, they bring a lower return for homeowners, don't they?
They do. There's two sides of the coin. If you're a seller, of course, you want the market to keep going up. And if you're a buyer, you're happy to see this dip. But I think even sellers have gotten to the point where they feel that this is unsustainable and not a healthy market. I've actually had people call and write me and say, the price I got for my house was obscene.
I'm going to invite our listeners to call now. In fact, if you'd like to join us with questions about this 7-year upswing, 0.1% doesn't sound like a lot, but there may be something more on the way. Bay Area home prices, at least taking for the first time in a number of years, a shift downward. We would want to hear from you, and you can join us now at our toll-free number. The number to call is 866-733-6786. That number again is 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. But interested in hearing your thoughts about this and any questions or comments you might have. Kathleen Pender with us from The Chronicle, who writes the Net Worth column, and Stephen Levy with us by phone, who directs the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. I mentioned before, Steve Levy, that the Bay Area News Group has done a whole zip code analysis, and they say that the whole region is essentially being reshaped. And a lot of this has to do with the recognition that people, of course, are simply unable to afford housing. But it's also people being pushed out of cities, even out of counties, especially lower middle-class people.
Right. It's really important for listeners to understand that when we're talking about these $1 million and $2 million single-family homes, that's not the housing crisis that ordinary residents are facing. We have a shortage because there's no money for subsidized housing. People like teachers and nurses, what we used to call middle-class folks, aren't able to afford housing. So the real housing crisis and the real challenge for companies getting workers is not that affluent people, can't or cannot afford to pay $3 million for a house, but that ordinary people in most zip codes or cities in this region can't afford the median rent. It's a real challenge, and the Bay Area News Group story just showed tale after tale of regular people who used to be able to afford housing now in 2019 can't at really all income levels except the very top.
And their conclusion is it's actually reshaping this entire region, reshaping it in every way.
Well, sure. People with lower incomes are moving out, or they're doubling or tripling up. You have kids moving back with their parents, so there's geography involved. There's family relationships involved. It really does hurt low- and middle-class residents much more because with a shortage of supply, high-income people can bid up units that lower- and middle-income people used to live in. That's what's been happening. We call it gentrification or displacement, but that's because there's been a shortage overall. It really is and everybody is in the crisis.
Let me bring our callers aboard here. Let me begin, Adam, with you. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. I was curious how you mentioned that the IPOs aren't really going to make a dent in the ceiling. And you went on to evolve my understanding that it's because they're at the top of the market. Do you think it's a responsibility of any of these companies or benefactors of them to help build this lower income housing to level out the crisis, or some of these new millionaires to help open up some more housing?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions on that. In fact, Stephen Levy, let me go back to you, if I may.
Sure. Companies are helping all around. Some people want them to help more, but companies like Google are including lots of housing in their North Bayshore and Mountain View proposal. Companies, Microsoft and Facebook, have joined together with the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative to try and raise $500 million for subsidized housing. I think all of us need to chip in. It's a real responsibility. So yes, for businesses, but yes, for all of us, because we all go out to eat. We all shop at stores that have low-wage workers. Some of us employ lower-wage people around our homes. So all of us have a responsibility for this housing affordability crisis, including the large companies.
Stephen Levy again directs the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. And there's a comment from Joe who writes, home prices fall, so what? They're just going to go from unaffordable to still unaffordable. And here's Nigel. Let me go to you on this, Kathleen Pender. Nigel says, finally, the housing bubble is deflating despite the best and most corrupt efforts of real estate agents to inflate it further with IPO fever. Why is it that stock speculators who promote fake news about stocks can go to jail, but real estate agents can promote speculation in their own self-interest?
Well, I don't know.
Question.
I don't know what all real estate agents are telling their clients about the IPOs. But earlier this year, I did a story and I actually quoted three recent academic studies that looked at the impact of IPOs on home prices in neighboring areas. And they found, to put it simply, that they do have an impact. The impact is closest to the company's headquarters. It's fairly brief. And it dissipates over time and distance. What's different with this IPO round is that in the past, the IPOs tended to be centered in Silicon Valley. This year,
and isn't it interesting that that they're leading in the drop off in prices?
Well, the one reason Santa Clara County had the biggest drop off in prices was because in the first part of last year, they were the nation's hottest market. Prices there were going up in the 20% range year over year. So it part of that is because they had such an astronomical increase in the first part of last year that I think that's why they had the biggest drop off this year. But the IPOs this year are going to be all primarily concentrated in San Francisco. We haven't had that in the city yet, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
And another caller joining us, Anna, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about property taxes, because with the absurdly high home prices that are going, even if someone can afford to buy that house, how can they continue to pay the property tax year after year after year? And wondering if this is going to be the next mortgage crisis.
Yeah, you're breaking up there, Anna. But Stephen Levy, let's talk about property tax and all this, the picture.
Well, let's tie that back to, I think, one of your caller said we're really just going from totally unaffordable to really, really unaffordable. And that's true. This story is about a very small segment of the market that is mostly unaffordable, either for prices or, as your caller said, for property taxes. If we're really looking for solutions, we're never going to get these homes down to a place where they're affordable to most people. We have to look at policies that add supply that is affordable. So your caller is right, whether it's the price or the property tax, these homes, even if they go down 5%, are still going to be unaffordable to 80-85% of the residents here.
Yeah, I'm looking at Kathleen Pender. Go ahead. Sorry, I was looking at your column where you say in the end, but in general, most homes are selling for list price or a little above or below. In other words, a more normal market.
I wanted to chime in on property taxes because the federal tax law that took effect last year limited the federal deduction for state and local income and property taxes to $10,000. And I think that's a considerable reason that you're seeing some weakness in prices, because a lot of people can no longer deduct any or all, some or all of their property taxes. And I think that really is starting to hit home with folks as they did their 2018 tax returns. So
that's significant. Yeah,
it is significant.
Here's a comment from a listener who says, sorry to tell you that the February numbers are just an anomaly. I'm a lender, and I can assure you that in the last 6 weeks, home prices are up again over here. I'm not sure where here is, but then he or she goes on to say, each one of my customers has had to pay significantly over asking price and faced tons of competition. Kathleen?
Well, what I hear from agents is that it's a very unpredictable market, that if you have a nice home that's fixed up, that's well staged in a desirable area near transit and good schools, you are still going to get multiple offers and probably sell for over asking price. So definitely, Some homes are still going way over, just fewer of them. Instead of getting 10 offers, maybe you're getting 3 offers.
And here's another caller from Sunnyvale. We welcome you, Randy. You're on the air.
So when I bought my house in 1999, we were seeing the same phenomena as we're seeing right now in 2019. This overall trend that's been going on for, 20 years. So, how is what we're seeing in the last 7 changed from what we're seeing in 1999? In 1999, I was put up against 5 other bidders for the same house.
We'll get some historical perspective from you, Steve Levy, here.
The caller is correct. The ultimate answer to this, to take some of the edge off of the prices, is to build a lot more homes at prices that are affordable. That's going to take zoning laws. That's going to take really substantial subsidies for those people who are going to need subsidized housing. We're beginning to see some school districts build teacher housing. But, yeah, we did have this 20 years ago, and in the intervening 20 years, we haven't built nearly enough homes at all income levels to keep up with population growth. So,
Steve, am I right in assuming we have more of a labor problem now than we did 20 years ago? In terms of getting labor?
We did not have a worker shortage in the dot-com era.
Right.
Now we are at the edge of people commuting a long way, people saying, I'm going to move to another place. We are at the edge with retirements now that are not, we're not there in 1999, massive. 1 million people will retire by 2030. We are looking at the beginning of a huge labor shortage directly tied to the unaffordability of housing for so many people.
Let me thank Randy for his call and go right on to another caller. That's you, James. You're on the air.
How are you doing today? My question is, you got foreign people from foreign countries who just bringing cash over to invest in single-family homes and not even living and just renting them out. How much of that is affecting the market?
We often hear this, Kathleen Pender, about the investors coming from China and other places and certainly affecting the market. To what degree do you find that?
Yeah, we hear that a lot. Unfortunately, there's no hard evidence on that because buyers are not required to disclose where they're coming from, if they're foreign or domestic. What I hear anecdotally is that that has dropped off since China has imposed some more stricter currency controls. So agents are seeing maybe fewer buyers from China, but they're still seeing a lot of
Saudi Arabia, Russia.
Well, no, they're seeing people coming who are being hired at the companies here from overseas. So they're still seeing demand from people from foreign countries who are actually immigrating here for jobs. But again, this is sort of anecdotal.
Well, let me thank the caller. It would be good to have some hard data on that. We got Mimi on next. Mimi, you're on.
Yes, I had a local taxpayer advocacy group in Marin, and one of the things that we've been talking with the school districts about here is that we're very concerned that about a potential flattening or decline in home prices, because our local schools, they get pretty much all of their revenues from local property taxes. So and they also depend on people selling significantly appreciated homes, and that also ups their revenues. Meanwhile, they are facing some state-mandated steep increases in their pension contributions to the CalSTRS and CalPERS system, as well as pressure to be raising salaries for the teachers. So all of this is a recipe for a likely significant cutback in the number of teachers that are employed in our local schools.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Mimi. Stephen Levy, you want to respond to Mimi?
Wow, that is complicated. Property tax revenues have been growing really rapidly, so the caller is correct that the problem to get money into the classroom is retirement costs, health care, and pensions. So the caller is correct there. Second, there's a huge inability to attract teachers because of cost of housing. So school districts are seeking partners and raising money to build teacher housing. Our county supervisor has a proposal down here. That will be enormously important. I don't think we've seen a massive drop-off in sales that threatens the property tax base yet. The caller's right. If that does happen, it would hurt. But the real problem is the retirement costs are just eating up the resources that otherwise would go to the classroom.
Want to add anything here, Kathleen Penny?
Well, just that I look at county property tax revenues every year, and they tend to be not real volatile. So there could be some long term changes if this.
They're generally stable, though.
They're more stable than you'd think.
Yeah. Okay. On that note, we will end, and we will continue to see what happens to Bay Area home prices. Thank you, Kathleen Pender from the San Francisco Chronicle, and thank you, Stephen Levy from the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. When we return, we're going to talk about measles now hitting a new high nationally. What can be done? What is being done? Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasner.